Hello, my name's Jamie Angel. I'm here to tell you that Marto and Margot, sadly, are on spring break. Just for a week, they're back on Monday. In the meantime, here's some of their best bits. It's the Triple M Catch-Up Podcast in the Listener app.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
So Sunday morning, my two boys played at South Logan Acacia Ridge and we had to be there at...
Right, yeah, I know where you are.
Yeah, we had to be there for an 8:30 game. So nice and early, up and at them after about 3 hours sleep the night before from the 40th that I attended, because I had to do an event late Saturday until about 10:30 here in Brisbane for Bravehearts.
Yeah.
I hosted their annual ball, but my girlfriend was turning 40 and she had her 80s party that I couldn't miss. So I got there at about 11 and...
So you turned up sober.
I turned up
when everyone else was drunk.
Tried to catch up very quickly, and of course,
responsible manner,
responsible catch up,
responsible catch up.
And
anyway, so Sunday was a little bleary eyed.
No brekkie.
Off to footy. Let's go. Yep. Out the door. Corey's away. I'm wrangling kids. Get in the car. We got to go.
Yeah.
So I get to South Acacia Ridge, and the first thing that I notice is the smell of the canteen and the hot chips.
It's cranked up chips already. At 8:30 on a Sunday morning.
8:38,
hot chips ready to go.
My first lot of hot food.
Jesus.
And I say first because it wasn't the last, Marto. I tucked into a bacon and egg burger and some chips with gravy, of course.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Off the mark, nicely. Nice.
And because I was feeling a little hungover, I had a Coke to go with it, because I thought, you know what, my belly's going to be full. I'm going to have a little bit of sugar. Heaps of energy.
Sugar, that's perfect. No, nice theory.
And we watched two games of footy there.
Oh, God.
Then off to the Waterford Demons. We went to watch my girlfriend's son play because he had come to watch the boys play. So I said, I'll meet you over there. I'll bring him with me. And then we can watch him play. But we got there at 11:30 for a 12:30 game.
Oh, all that food's worn off. You'll need to go again, surely.
I went again.
You didn't.
This is what I did. I'd like to thank the ladies at the Waterford Demons Tuck Shop Canteen because they fed me. They kept me alive, Marto. I had two cups of hot chips with tomato sauce. I had a potato scallop.
Wow.
I had a chicken.
They sell scallops. Hold on. Go slowly. Mm. Yeah.
So I had a potato scallop.
Yeah.
Then I had a little nap on the grass in the sun for about 15 minutes.
Passed out.
On one of the kids' jumpers. You know, you just tuck it up under your head and just go, I'm just going to lay here and rest
spewing.
My eyes. There was no spewing.
No spewing.
There was just lots of feeling nauseous. And so I thought a little nap, you know.
No ants got
you. Tummy's full. No ants got me.
Just
no. I woke up and I was like, you know what, I think I'm still hungry. I just haven't really filled that urge of the hunger bug, you know.
That's amazing.
And so I went back to the canteen and I got a Chico roll. And that didn't quite satisfy me.
Well, no one knows what's in them.
No. And so I went back and I said to the lady, look, I'm a little bit hungover and nothing seems to be hitting the spot.
Were they offering you frequent flyer prize by now?
I said, what do you recommend? And she said, you've got to go the sweet chilli chicken wrap.
Hold on. What do you recommend? You've eaten everything else on the menu.
So I went the sweet chilli chicken wrap.
Oh, that's a
what
a day.
But this time, instead of soft drink or Coke, I thought, oh, you know what I need? I need a Powerade because it's got all the electrolytes in it. So I smashed a Powerade and a sweet chilli chicken wrap. And you know when you just, the thirst hasn't been quenched. The stomach was now full. The food, the sweet chilli chicken wrap hit the spot.
Yep.
So I went back and I just got myself a bottle of water this time.
Wow.
And I just sculled a full bottle of water, rehydrated and was ready to go through the Macca's drive through on the way home we left.
Oh, you got
as
out
we
of the
left
match,
footy,
sure.
Got the kids some Macca's.
How'd the footy go? No
I
idea.
I didn't watch it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
You're familiar with this, Margot.
Not enough news for an hour-long bulletin.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know.
Where are we today? 7, 9 or 10?
Unspecified, okay.
10.
Channel 10. But I thought there wasn't enough news, and then it's sometimes I go, what is this? And I go, oh, no, it's not too bad. Yeah, okay.
Oh, this was a moment of change. Transition for you.
Two nights in a row, there's a circus on in Adelaide. And I went, why am I watching a story about Adelaide? I don't care about Adelaide. It was the Big Bird outfit that they'd imported from Las Vegas. You know, it's 2.3 metres high.
Sesame Street Big Bird.
The same height as Big Bird. So just over 7 foot tall. There was an outfit. Somebody broke into the circus late at night and they were using it to stand out on the road. There's Big Bird. Oh, God, look, my kid's seen Big Bird. We're going to have to go to the circus.
Okay,
got it?
I've got it.
$130,000 worth.
The costume is worth $130,000.
Proper awesome. proper.
Celebrate good times.
Be large ostriches. Now, Big Bird is an ostrich, and they are real ostrich feathers,
is
dyed
he an
yellow.
Ostrich?
Wow. I'll say that. Well, there's an interesting question.
I don't think he's an ostrich.
A giant humanoid bird.
Big Bird.
He's
bird. He's got human in him. It's as if an ostrich did make love to a big man at a basketball
a big
or
yellow.
Something.
I don't want to detract from your story, Marto.
Yes,
but
it hasn't started yet.
I had to go to a first birthday party for my godson, and I left Corey in charge of getting the costumes, and it was a Disney, like, cartoon character party.
Yes.
And I thought he'd get me something, you know, beautiful like Princess Jasmine or Cinderella. Big Bird is what he got me. I went as Big Bird to a birthday party.
I love Big Bird. I've been to a 40th birthday party as Big Bird
So what happened?
What happened is they're going, who the hell took our $130,000 Big Bird outfit? Please return
Someone
it. Call
stole
Crime
it.
Stoppers. All of that went on and then... And then two nights in a row.
Did they have some suspects?
Big Bird is back. The bespoke costume stolen from a circus in Adelaide has been returned by thieves calling themselves the Big Bird Bandits.
Hooray! Oh, the Big Bird
wasn't
Bandits.
Wasn't Oscar the Grouch?
Well, there's a number of suspects. But the good thing is it was there and it was, you know, those
Cookie
electric
monster.
Boxes, those green electrical boxes that, you know, some of them control traffic lights and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was found slumped.
Early this morning, the bird captors dumped him at Bonython Park, a passing tradie spotting two men running from the scene.
Did one suspiciously look like the Hamburglar?
No. Hold on. Yeah, don't worry. It's not just you who's trying to make puns and all the rest of it. Listen to the reporter.
Along with some ruffled feathers came a letter of apology from the Muppets who snatched him, saying we had no idea what we were doing. Sorry to be such a big burden. Signed, the Big Bird Bandits.
The Big Bird Bandits.
I've got a good sense of humour, at least.
Well, what are you thinking?
Kermit.
They were drunk. They were walking
Wasn't
past
Kermit.
The circus. They popped in. They've stolen. Look at this. They've stolen that. They've gotten home. They've probably gone to work hungover. They've gotten home. They've watched the news and gone, Jesus, you know that Big Bird outfit? Hey, Graham, yeah. What? Oh, yeah, Phil, yeah. Oh, $130,000. Oh, mate, we're in trouble if we don't. And they've returned it, haven't they?
I would have sold it.
Hold on.
Police are still
Not
looking over. For the bird nappers.
No. Cookie Monster wouldn't do something like that.
The Cookie Monster's been cleared.
Okay, you and your Hamburglar and stuff, you get a job at Channel 10 being a bad joke writer.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Time to talk stolen cars. Now, this is part. We went away for Saturday, Margo, and we had an open house, and Kath went, What? I don't feel good about this. And I said, what don't you feel good about? She said, somebody after the open house, while they're looking at our house, they might hide in a cupboard and then come out. And I said, come out and do what? This is what she worries about. All right. And she said, they might. I said, we're in the car. We're at the Gold Coast, okay, on Saturday night. They can't steal a car. They go, So she went, and then I was talking to my brother. She was talking to my brother about it, and he said, yeah, I had my car stolen. He had a happy experience. He said, yeah, they take your car, but if they do any damage, you get a new car. There's
insurance.
No problems if you're fully insured. But there's some, and you, the reason I'm talking about it, because you pull up today and you go, there's a bird out car.
Well, Saturday night, I was dropping my girlfriend home, and there was a burnt out vehicle in the street just down the road from us.
That's great.
And of course, I went to my trusty local Facebook community page, and someone had a video of the car being burnt out at about 9:30 Saturday night, and it looked like it had been stolen.
That's
someone had gone for a bit of a joyride, but a lighter was found, Marta, next to the car, so it's been taken into evidence because they're not sure if the people that stole it and went hooning. That they burnt it out, or if possibly it was an insurance job after it had been stolen.
There were a few of them in Logan Saturday night, as
apparently
you're
there
saying.
Was three stolen cars on fire in Logan on
Don't
Saturday night.
Saturday. Don't want to take this lightly, but there's good and there's bad stories, and sometimes the you know, insurance companies don't cough up. They're the bad stories. Sometimes it's good because your car was on the turn anyway and you get a newie.
Do you remember when Broncos, former Broncos player Darius Boyd's car was stolen?
No.
Do you remember that? They stole his Audi.
Oh.
He had a sponsorship with, I think it was Audi or Mercedes, and his car got stolen out of his driveway. They spray painted it black. They were following it all over Brisbane. I reckon for about 10 days they were following this car.
What do you mean following it?
It was being spotted.
Oh, you didn't have a GPS
everywhere,
locator.
All over Brisbane. No, and people would ring in and report it stolen, and then they ended up spray painting it black. They were using it as like running drugs and stuff, whoever pinched it.
Jesus.
And anyway, it ended up being found.
Right. Have you ever had your car stolen is the question.
Jason from Samford, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
What happened, Jason?
I had a VK Commodore and they tried to steal it twice. The first time they tried to hotwire it, but I'd left it in drive.
Yeah.
And they didn't check to put it in park, so it wouldn't start. The second time they tried to steal it, it needed a new starter motor, so they had no luck that time.
Oh, Jesus. They've had two go. That used to be the most stolen car in Australia. Mm. Was that right, Jase?
I think so, yeah. Mm. Well, mine definitely had a couple. They had a couple of cracks at mine.
But well, you had a couple of these people. Dumb criminals. Jesus.
Tim from Wynnum, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Did you have your car stolen?
Yeah, I did. About 20 years ago, I had my car parked at Dunkannon Hill Shopping Centre, and it was stolen, driven all the way up to the Sunshine Coast and used in a bank holder.
Oh, famous
my
goodness, car.
Famous.
Nice one.
Infamous.
Yeah, well, I suppose, like you said, Dino, you know, I really wanted a new car, but unfortunately, I got it back.
Any bullet holes?
Like fingerprint dust and everything.
Was it a successful bank hold-up, or were they idiots and, you know, the cops caught? What was the situation?
The cops did catch them. The funny thing about it, though, my front two wheels were shot, so it would have wobbled all the way up to Caloundra. It would have had a terrible drive. So,
did you get two new tyres or wheels as part of the insurance?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
You're an idiot. Uh-huh.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Oh, there's something new happening down in Logan. I tell you what, we are the pioneers of the universe because they've got a new grocery delivering service called Wing.
Wing started trialling the service here in 2019. It's running similar ones in Canberra, the US and Finland, but Logan is the largest.
We have many thousands of customers in Logan.
Well, hold on. I remember when they said they were going to launch this, so this actually is happening now.
This is happening in Logan. Logan Lee, Waterford West, Lex Creek, Logan Central, Woodridge, Kingston Park, Park Ridge, Browns Plains, Heritage Park.
So the Logan and surrounding districts. But you're saying, what did you say? Did you mean supermarket, like
grocery delivery service? It's happening in Marsden too.
We've done over 18,000 deliveries in Logan just this year. That's a car not on the road.
18,000 deliveries, Marto. We've got thousands of customers.
But what are you telling me? What weight can it lift? Like, what's the max?
Anything. It can lift this sort of stuff.
Drones have been dropping into Kathy Ballantyne's Marsden backyard for the past 12 months.
At least once a week. Generally order coffees, sometimes barbecue chickens. We just get it in within 10 minutes, saves getting dressed, going out.
Chicken.
Convenient.
A chicken.
I feel like a hot chook for lunch. I'll just give Wing a call and they'll deliver it into my yard.
Within anywhere with a couple of minutes from when the customer orders, the chicken's falling from the sky, basically.
Chickens falling only in Logan. Chickens. The chips and gravy come out of the sky too. Can you get a Pepsi Max?
Is this like a version of Rainy with a Chance of Meatballs, that movie where food just falls from the sky? I'm in. Sign me up.
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Margo, do you mind if we run this?
CSI. Model.
No, I love the investigations at length which you go to.
Well, sometimes we go a bit serious. We talk about power. We talk about shortages in the construction industry.
Well, we talked about how the poles are built bridges underwater.
Here's been some of the CSI investigations, and thankfully our listeners are incredible at helping us solve these terribly difficult questions. What's the go with the new flight paths? How does it ruin or wreck your life? If you know what happened out there at Callide, maybe tell us about that. I want to talk about shortages here in Australia that we're having trouble getting stuff. Okay, and they were all solved. Case solved by the end of them, and we asked the question, and inevitably on 133353, our listeners come to...
Oh, they're incredible.
I know. Well, 6:30 this morning, we were talking about car bumper stickers, which aren't such a huge...
Yeah, we're saying how are they a representative of who you are, your stickers on your car.
You remember Rob from Ipswich rang up and said, my dad's a chippy, and he's got a car sticker that says, don't poke the bangers.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand what that meant.
We asked him what it meant. He had no idea. He said, I don't know, Dad's old. But... I think it means when you're cooking sausages, barbecuing sausages, you're not supposed to poke them. I used to be a poker. And
do
then
you mean
I'd
poke a hole in them?
Yeah, to let and all the fat comes out.
Always do that.
That's the question today.
Can't I just whack them on like a hot steak on a really hot plate. You got to like just like slowly warm them up from the inside out and then just brown the outside. You got to turn. It's
sure
all about the turn.
Actually, there might be someone ringing us
it's
from
a lot
Bunnings.
Of work in sausages.
Do they know what they're doing? Jeff from Bribey Island, what's your background, mate?
Background is 26 years in the industry of cutting up dead things.
So you're a butcher, Jeff?
Yes, butcher by trade.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, the question that we're asking is to poke or not to poke?
Depending on your butcher. If your butcher's good, you will never need to poke your sausage.
Why?
Is that tying at the ends or the thickness of the sack?
It comes back to everything. It comes back to the fat content of the sausage, comes back to the actual manufacturer of the sausage,
quality
comes
of
back
the meat.
To a lot of things. Quality of the meat, all about it. If you've got a good sausage, you've got a good butcher.
Tell us the difference between a good sausage and a bad sausage. What would I find in a bad sausage which would require me to poke it?
Fat content.
Too much fat.
Righto.
Too much fat.
So all the gristle around the outs. And it's just like cut up off cuts of steak, sausages
it
or
is.
Mince?
Well, mainly. Yeah, it's all the off cuts of the good bits that go into making a sausage. So.
So is it the rubbish meat goes into the snags?
Normally, but that's where your flavour is.
Jeff, stand by. Just let me read you this from Troy. Back in the day, used to watch my pop poke the bangers with a fork. I always loved it when he'd blame the barbecue for them splitting them open. Don't poke the bangers. Are you rock solid? So the first point would be don't, unless
cheap
they're
sausages.
Real. Yeah, don't poke them.
Mm. Yeah, don't poke them unless they are a rubbish sausage.
Harry from Greenbank, good morning.
Well, like the last bloke just said, he's a butcher. It depends on the content of your fat, but two, yeah, if you get a natural skin, which is a pig intestine, you do not need to poke them. If it's excess fat, will come out the end.
George from Mount Gravatt.
Yeah, I think the old days of the bangers is left over from the dodgy old butchers that used to pump lots of water and fat and emulsify it into their sausage meat.
Oh, water and emulsify. Are you a butcher as well, George?
No, I'm a chef, but my grandfather was a butcher as well.
The whole reason why we're talking about this is because someone had a sticker on the back of their car that said, don't poke the bangers. Have you heard that before?
I have heard the terminology before. I heard it in the UK years and years ago.
What is it? Where did it come from? What does it mean?
I'm not sure where it comes from, but I had heard it before, but it was years and years ago.
So step away. No poking.
Do not poke the bangers.
Do not poke. Do not poke the bangers.
Well, we've sorted that out.
Pretty categorical.
To poke or not to poke, no pokey pokey.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Oh, what times we live in. We have with us now the man that Scott Morrison regards as his comedy hero, Amos Gill. Hello.
That's so deeply disturbing. Here's my message of the day, folks. Hope will kill you. You know? I've just given up on everything. Don't make plans. Don't try and get ahead. Aww. Just sit back and lay down and wake up in 3 years when this is all over. I can't come to the Brisbane Comedy Festival. Those shows are done.
I don't know if you heard, though, Amos. The Olympics is going to be here in 11 years. Maybe you could do a mature career path change. Mm.
Congratulations on beating out everyone who wanted that. Mm. That's exciting, Brisbane. Well done.
Nobody.
Hopefully we've recovered from the Zeta variant by the time that comes along.
Listen, don't you downplay us winning a one-horse race. Don't you dare. Yeah.
Hey, the 4X gold medal does sound good, though. You know?
Just a can or stubby? What would be better?
I was thinking the other day about the Gold Coast and Brisbane getting the games and just Australia having the Olympics again, because I do love the Olympics. And here's something I'm also very excited about. You guys know my missus is a equestrian rider.
Equestrian! Oh, did you hear about that Jamie Cammond? Whatever happened to him?
Did I hear about it? I heard before the news had broken because her group chat had absolutely sparked up.
Oh.
Because the equestrian community is blowing up over this.
Scott Bunter.
Are they tight-knit? They all know each other?
Oh, they all know each other. They're all bitching about it. Apparently the backup rider, chose not to go because he was in a huff that he wasn't picked in the first team.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to take his horse over there. So now they've got no backup. And the team is completely ruined.
This is a disaster. How many gold were we going to win in equestrian anyway? I haven't done my math.
I mean, and what a shock to know that a white wealthy man in his 30s has some lines on the weekend. I, for one, am blown away by that. You? I mean, I go to these equestrian shows once every 3 weeks. Let me tell you, if everyone got on the gear, it'd be a hell of a lot more interesting for those that's watching it out there. But of course he was going to get busted. You know how they got him, don't you?
No. Well, it was in Caboolture, wasn't it?
Caboolture or somewhere.
He and the horse were leaving a disabled toilet together.
How cruel. Did you see the horses already over in Japan and he's not? So
you know it's like $100,000 or more to get your horse over there.
Oh, no.
I can't wait for the documentary, The Nags on the Bags. That's what I'll produce. And I reckon the guy, the rider, obviously likes the party a little bit. I don't think he's going to miss out on too much because he probably saw the anti-sex beds and thought, stuff this, I'm not rooting on a broken cardboard box anyway. Can I tell you where I'm doing this interview, by the way? No studio, not my own. I've decided to isolate with my girlfriend's family, and I've been given shushed. Up.
I was told not to talk too loud, so I'm going to be sitting in a car in a driveway while it rains.
Oh, that's so sad.
Comedian Amos Gill not coming to the Brisbane Comedy Festival. Oh, his shows have been cancelled. He's locked down in Adelaide.
What are you going to do with those 2,000 tickets we gave to listeners?
They've been liquidated and I'm going to Tokyo to ride the horse.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, beautiful family photo today in the confidential property section of the Courier Mail. You and your lovely wife, Kath, and your two beautiful children, Hillary and Harry.
So proud of that photo in front of our house of 24 years because Harry, you can't see his mullet, and that makes Kath very. I told him, keep your head straight at the camera, mate. Mum doesn't want your mullet spoiling this photo.
And you very vaguely and briefly talked about it over the last couple of weeks, and that's what I love about you. You are the complete opposite of me. You are modest and humble, and you don't like to bring attention to yourself, you are selling your family home of 24 years.
I've put my life into that house. That was a 2-bedroom. One bathroom house when we moved in, and for years I used to take, whenever I wasn't doing footy and stuff, that pool, like 2003, we built that. I helped all the tradies in.
Says, this beautifully restored all of your hard work. Yeah. Like you mentioned, 5-bedroom Queenslander.
I got really sentimental last night.
Sits on a huge 1,346 square kilometre block, just 5 kilometres from Brisbane CBD. And it really is a beautiful home.
You turned it from 2 bedrooms to 5.
Yeah.
We lifted it. Oh, mate, it took the first 5 years or so we were in it before I worked on radio sort of thing. We were, it was full on.
And it's emotional and it's sentimental.
But I was doing that during the day and then at night you come home and do that. But
you've raised your beautiful children here. They don't know any other home other than this one.
Yeah, and if they'd stop crying and start to move their crap out. So,
you had your first open home last night. You've got one again this Saturday.
I got sentimental because we turned all the lights on and had to leave with the dog for half an hour or so. I came back and I wandered around and went, wow, someone's been judging my house because people usually just come over and drink beer, but we had people over and they were judging and looking at what I had done and stuff, and I went, we went all right. Yeah. Well done to all the tradies that worked on it. Any of the boys and girls who are listening who worked on helping do stuff in the house over the years, thank you.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful home. And like you said, you've got your open home this Saturday.
Significant life moment.
If anyone's keen to head out there to Newmarket, go and check it out.
Don't worry.
For those of you who aren't going to go and check it out, though, Marto, you've gone all out expense-wise in marketing because you've got that video, you know, where the real estate agent comes in and
doesn't everyone do that?
Shows you through the property with the drone.
He told us everyone.
Very fancy.
He said everyone does that now. They said they do videos and photos. It was every house looks good. They're like magic, those real estate photographers. Even if it's a crap house, they make it look good. They're amazing.
They are amazing. And so for those of you who won't get an opportunity to head out to Newmarket on Saturday at any stage to check out Marto's beautiful home.
No, don't.
I thought I'd grab the audio of the video that they do to take you through the home and they could listen to what Marto's house is like.
Hello, my name is Kimberly Scheister from Money Hungry Real Estate. Today, I present to you the wonderful Chateau de Rumlord. This wonderful hilltop property has views all the way to Moreton Bay and comes with a thick, dense, 3-metre hedge to protect you from your nosy neighbours. The property comes with ample undercover parking, enough for 2 Land Cruisers, 3 jet skis and 5 motorised Eskies. Out the back is a shed which contains...
Oi, piss off, I'm in here!
Oh, it's locked. Okay, moving on. Downstairs is a spacious guest bedroom, which can easily be converted into a sweatshop that produces toweling shorts for the rugby league fans. The kitchen comes custom-made with space for up to 6 beer fridges. The property contains 3 full-size bedrooms, all of which come fitted with plastic lawn chairs in the showers. However, the biggest selling point is the majestic outdoor spaces. The backyard contains rugby goalposts, which are 2 metres too narrow to help dent the confidence of your budding goal kicker. Get in quick. This highly sought-after pirate playland will sell fast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marta, I was terribly upset last night. I found myself crying on the floor of my wardrobe because there was a loss. It was a tragedy. There was a loss of my former self where once upon a time I could actually fit into my active wear. I'm going to Pilates today for the first time. I'm trying to lose some weight and second get fit time, and healthy. Time. First time back in like 2 years.
Okay, right.
So I haven't worn active wear for that long, not even just to go for a coffee or do some shopping in.
What's wrong with you? All other girls wear them to
know,
go to coffee
but
and
I don't
go
like
to the servo.
To lure people into school a false sense of security.
What do you wear to school? Pick up, for God's sake.
I wear my UGG boots, Marto.
I know, and your pyjamas.
But it's been since I acquainted myself with said lycra in the third drawer that has been neglected over the last few years. And so I pulled it out to see what it was that I was going to wear to Pilates today. I was putting together a bit of an outfit.
Do we brand specify? Because I know a little bit. I know there's Lululemon and there's that other woman.
Well, I like
the other one?
Lorna Jane.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah.
I like
know
to
many.
Support the little people, Marto.
Oh, who's that?
LSKD is my one. Legging of choice at the moment. Yeah. I like the stretch. I like the fit. It's got a pocket in the side for my phone and my keys to
hold on
to.
Hold on. While you're doing Pilates, do you really need to have a phone in one pocket and keys in the other?
So like
yeah, for his Instagram story. Hey guys, doing Pilates.
If you didn't have the phone and
back
keys, maybe
it.
They'd fit.
Back on the bandwagon, trying to get healthy. Hashtag 2020.
Lycra top and bottom.
I went the oversized black Nike t-shirt with legging, but the leggings don't fit. And that's not what's supposed to happen because Lycra is supposed to stretch.
Exactly. And these scientists, you know the history of Lycra. 1950s, they over in DuPont.
Lycra, do you,
I looked it up while the song was ongoing. She might be going to engage me in a Lycra chat here. And they developed it. Like there's petrol and synthetic. Mm. It's synthetic.
Yeah.
We fought the Second World War to invent Lycra as I can make out. To
and
make
it's
you girls
to stretch,
comfy.
But they didn't invent it to stretch far enough because I need to get it over this fat bottom at the moment.
What
that's
happens
not fitting?
When it doesn't go any further? Does it split?
No, split, it goes sheer and then you can see your pants, underpants underneath it and then you bend over and you see a little bit of crack maybe, I'm not sure. Subject people to all sorts of things.
As if you didn't take a reverse selfie in the mirror.
But you know what they say about Lycra?
No, I don't.
Well, you know what they say, 3 things never lie.
Yes.
Children.
Yes.
Old people.
Yes.
And leggings.
Oh, that's sad.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, a balanced breakfast, what we need. And there's just been a conversation while the news was on that I need to bring up with all our listeners. We're all a bit hungry this morning. I mean, a bit empty in the stomach. And we were just talking about we need to get some breakfast. We might need to get some food. And who was it that just said, I'd love some halloumi? You're an idiot.
I love halloumi, Marta.
Well, you're an idiot too. And you didn't start this. And I'm not squaring off at you. I just want to say one thing about halloumi. Now, where did it come from?
It's
when
Greek.
I was growing. Yeah, well, sorry, I don't mean that bit. I mean, when did it start become popular? I suppose Instagram's got something to answer for or something.
Is it sheep? Is it sheep's milk? Goat's milk?
I don't
cheese?
Know.
I don't care. How's because it what it is a tasteless, salty piece of rubber. And you've got to get it straight out of the pan. Oh, halloumi, halloumi. Listen, I just want to say that it is one of the most overrated and frankly disappointing foods I've ever had. Halloumi, good, I'm looking at you.
Good little really hot layer of oil in the pan, Marto, some basil pesto.
Nonsense.
Salt, pepper, then drizzle a bit of honey over the top.
Nonsense.
Oh my God. Or some lemon juice. Nonsense. Delicious.
It's all nonsense. Overrated. It's, I want to actually talk about it with everyone else. 133353. I want to talk about overrated and disappointing foods. Avocado. I'm looking at you as well.
Oh, I love avocado.
Overrated and disappointing. Tasteless piece of nonsense. And you just said it about halloumi. You got to add a heap of stuff to it to make it taste all right. Remember when you're in school, I don't know, did you ever use a rubber when you're in school?
Yeah.
And you used to sometimes chew on your rubber?
Never.
That's a lot of halloumi taste like. Didn't you ever chew on your rubber at school?
Never.
Oh, I did.
I used to stick holes in it, drawing it, I love, you know, whatever boy was hot for the week.
Well, that's what halloumi is. And if you put some honey and a bit of salt on that, or whatever it is you were saying, drizzle, if you put that rubber.
I've got one for you.
What?
Cucumber.
Oh, God,
yeah. Yuck.
What a waste of time.
It smells gross. Everyone wants to put it in their salads and on their sandwiches.
I've got to start writing these
sticks
down.
Sticks into hummus. Yuck.
All right. So avocado. Well, cucumber. I'm saying lettuce.
Gary from Greenbank, 133353. Overrated food. What is it for you?
Russell bloody sprout.
Oh, what a waste. Overrated. What are they about? What are they about? They make you fart. They're good for nothing.
John from Kingston. Good morning.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate.
Hold on. Before we get... John, hang on to the thought. On the burner phone from Barry from Regent's Park, almond milk is so incredibly overrated. Yeah, it tastes like dirt. Also, how do you milk... Anyway, do they...
How do you milk an almond?
Do they have nipples, Barry asks. I don't think so. Chocos. We can't get to everyone. David from Delaney's Creek, I agree. Your mother used to feed that. And yet, just not... Do you know what a choco is, Dave?
The plant, yeah.
Yeah, it grows out in the backyard free. It tastes horrible.
The other one with almond milk. Oat milk, it can go too. Oh, get rid of it. John from Kingston, what is it for you? What's overrated?
It's Corona beer. Anything you got to put fruit in to taste good isn't worth drinking.
Yeah.
Overrated. That'll do me, John.
Absolutely.
That is fair enough. What a list. Thank you, everybody.
John, I'm going to give you a $100 D-Shop voucher. Get your D-Shopping delivered fast and save up to 90%. D-Shop's biggest stock take sale is on now. Hang on a sec.
Everything, let Dave get through his credit.
Everything Marto? Home and more. dshop.com.au.
Brown bread. Like, what a waste.
Overrated.
David from Delaney's Creek Records. Chocos!
Yeah, we just said that before.
Rob from North Key, anything in a degustation.
Overrated.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Corey's going round the house, stuck his marbles, busy parking orders. Time for At Home with the Parkers.
Well, I'd like to welcome a new addition to the Parker family, and that is our 12-week-old poodle Buddy. The puppy dog that entered the household 2 weeks ago. And Buddy started to cause a little bit of havoc in the Parker household.
Shoe chewer,
Marto.
House pooer. Oh, both.
Both. Oh, we are the lot. The whole lot. He's doing it all. I'm like, naughty puppy.
No, that's
I think
not
I'm going to have
doing.
To bring in a trainer. Because Buddy has now cost me about $700 in shoes.
I bet
he
a trainer
has
on the weekend.
Through four or five pairs of my shoes. Mm. Memphis will be up at the school uniform shop this morning buying herself some new school socks.
No.
Because he has a fascination with socks, Marto, and if I'm not losing them to the washing machine, I'm losing them to Buddy the dog because he likes to chew them and holes are plenty.
Can I, I just want to say this, keep undies up high because they
He's
love it.
He's been through the undies as well.
Nothing worse.
River's like, hey, Mum, Buddy's got my knickers. I'm like, I know. Get them out of.
Wait
you cannot
until they
lead
eat
anything.
Them.
That's
when
the
they
new
eat
directive.
Them and they come out the other end when you pull a pair of undies out with a claw hammer, that's when you know it's been a big night for the dog.
The new directive.
God, what are you going to do?
The new directive in the house, instead of can you put your things away, it's get your stuff off the floor.
Exactly.
Keep it up off the floor. They come to me with sheer disappointment on their faces because he's chewed through yet another thing. If it's not an ushi or a sock or someone's jocks or one of my new pairs of winter leather boots that I only just bought last week at the Garden City sales. Remember, Marto? He's chewed through them too, little bastard.
Now, I'm no expert. But are you jamming, if he's a house pooer, do you jam his nose in it?
Well, somebody said to me.
I love that stuff.
Somebody said to me, I said, I don't know what to do. And they said, oh, they say denka rub. Put denka rub on the socks or white pepper. That deters them. I'm like, what? So I said, I've got four kids. I can't go around simply putting denka rub on four kids' worth of socks.
Jesus,
do you know how many that is?
They pull their undies up and they go, oh, Jesus. It's a terrible trouble.
Buddy Parker, you may have to be put on the chain outside. Well, Dobbo has given me a good lot of advice, and that is chain time. fixes any situation
for
dogs.
That's picking dogs. That's not for a pet. But don't forget, there has been, and they're both accidents, of course. There have been two deaths of your dogs caused by your own vehicles.
Somebody did warm up the car. Somebody did text in on the burner phone and said, Margo should have called that dog Speed Hump.
Oh, Jesus.
Yellow car.
The Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
on Triple M.
Marto, you're a little hesitant. We've brought Jimmy Rod. Jimmy, what's your actual name?
Jimmy Rod O'Brien.
Oh, it is Jimmy Rod O'Brien. We've got Jimmy Rod O'Brien in from Jimmy Rod's, and you waited in line to get a haircut. The haircut was lineup was too long, so you went home and did it yourself, right?
And I'm really
happy. We had a little bit of an intervention on the show yesterday where we said it needs to go, but you're hesitating because you actually like it and think.
Jimmy, can you understand this? My hair is never. I've had the same haircut. I worked 25 years on Fox. I had exactly the same haircut for about 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And I don't care. And the thing is, the shorter I cut the sides, the less grey there is.
Now, he's detesting an actual proper haircut. So we just want to fix up the haircut that he currently has. Now, I know this is not something that you would normally do. We've got to spin the wheel of haircuts here. And as you can see, they are hideous haircuts.
It's the wheel of terrible footy haircuts.
It's the wheel of terrible. You've got Jai Arrow. You've got Josh Papali. You've got Ryan Pappenhausen.
What's that bloke's name?
I don't know, but that's a...
I'm not getting a Jake Turpin. I'm not getting a Dusty Martin.
So, Marta, we're going to get you to spin the wheel.
Papali looks good. That's a good haircut.
And Jimmy is going to attempt to fix what you ruined.
Give it a spin, Marta.
Give it a spin.
Oh, I got it!
Pappenhausen! Yes!
What's the biblical fable where if you can't bring Muhammad to the mountain, bring the mountain to Muhammad? That's you, Jimmy. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're the mountain.
Easy, we'll swab it up.
Mate.
So what are you doing here, Jimmy? How are you going to fix this? You're correcting it?
Yeah, so I'm just blending through the sides.
You know exactly. He's got a photo of Ryan Pappenhausen, and I want that.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
I'm that annoying client who says I want to look like that bloke.
So shaved sides.
He's not a plastic surgeon, but he's going to attempt to give you the Pappenhausen haircut.
I reckon they're going to be twins after this.
Yeah, thank you. That's what we want to hear.
Father and son, probably, more like it.
That's it.
How does Kath feel about the Pappenhausen, Marto?
Can't hear you.
Is she a fan?
We'll find out. How are we going?
Now, you had photos for the Sunday Mail, Courier Mail.
No, I've already done them.
Yes, on the weekend.
Yeah.
Did you debut the Pappenhausen haircut?
No.
Did you wear a beanie?
Kath got spit and squashed it all down and tried to make it. Yeah, anyway.
You ended up wearing a hat, yes?
But as long as I didn't go side on, it looks all right. See, the mullet looks great if you stay directly so straight on. It's just when you slightly turn your head, people go, what the hell's going on there? And that's what I'm after, that impact. We're going to have to change all our billboards, or two of them. What are you doing? You're not cutting more hair off. Like, I just want
to... No, I'm blending it, buddy.
Oh, is that what you do?
If you want to see Marto's haircut, check out our social media, Triple M Brisbane.
If you want to see my haircut, you're a weirdo. I'm old. An old man with a mullet.
That looks great. Yeah, what do you reckon, Marto?
Yay, well done. Thank goodness for Jimmy, hey?
Thank you so much to Jimmy Rods.
Gentlemen, don't try this at home. Book yourself into a professional. Go and see Jimmy
Rods.
Was
this all just an ad for Jimmy?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't, but it's turned into it, Marto.
Marto's intervention.
Thank you.
How do you feel, Marto? What do you reckon?
Bloody terrific. I haven't been to the barbers for ages. Oh, this is my favourite bit. This is what gets me aroused when they do my ears, Jimmy. Do my ears, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, yeah.
Check out the video, Triple M Brisbane.
That makes me tickle.
Marta's intervention.
Tickle my eyebrows, Jimmy.
Oh, has been successful.
Going
yeah, nice.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, so good.
The Big Breakfast. Weekdays when you wake up on 104.5 Brisbane's Triple M.
You know me to be a bit of a car rev head nut.
Oh, God, you love your cars.
A little bit. I do love cars.
And then I met your dad and I realised, like, he was he's the tyre king.
He was the tyre king. He had the Bob Jane T-Marts down at Springwood. He used to race cars at Lakeside and Bathurst. It was in a Tirana. And
clearly,
so I grew up with cars.
A psychologist would say you wanted to be like your dad and you wanted to hang around and have good cars.
Grew up in the back of HSVs. Mum always drove a Senator or a
Did
club
she really?
Sport or,
That's unreal.
Big Holden family
so
I grew up.
That's why you drive so fast everywhere you
you go, including the
yes,
car park.
Yes, it's my mum's fault. Learned behaviour, Mardo.
That's unreal.
But I love cars, and I remember I had an XU1 Tirana at one point. I had a VK Commodore at another point.
What age? Like, there's people who would have want one of them all the after, especially after one at Bathurst. What, how old were you when you had an XU1 Tirana?
About 17.
Jesus, yeah. What a life.
Yeah, and then my dad realised that I can't have fast cars or good cars because I speed or I crash.
Yeah.
And so therefore, my first real car that became mine that I was so very proud of when I was a young girl was a Toyota Sprinter, back in the day, like an 80s model Sprinter.
Is that it
was
like red, an early Yaris sort of thing?
Early Yaris. Yeah. And I pimped that bad boy out, Marto. It had car seat covers. It had steering wheel cover. It had a dash mat. It had floor mats.
Wow.
It had fluffy dice. It had a sticker across the back that said Sprinter.
How did you not become a hairdresser? That's what they do. How did you... You actually had a Sprinter sticker on the back.
Yeah, and then from there, the accessorising of the vehicle grew, and now it's roof racks and cages for my Land Cruiser and awnings for when we go on the beach that pop out off the side of our cage on the roof. Big wheels, you know, 22-inch rims blacked out, you know. So that's the sort of accessorising I do these days.
What a lifetime of being a bogey.
I know, it's great.
Beautiful.
Except the other day I was introduced to a different type of accessorising as an adult in a car. When my girlfriend pulled up beside me at a car park, we were exchanging children. She had my daughter for the weekend, I had her son, and we were giving them back to each other.
It's was this
BP.
A court-agreed destination? Like, you got it?
No, we're not allowed into our house.
We'll have to do it at the servo.
We're at the VP at Larapinta. We were meeting halfway, and she said, I'll meet you there and we'll swap. And I was like, sounds great. And then when we were standing there talking, I was like, are they cushions in the back seat of your car?
What?
She had decorative throw pillows. You know the ones that women put on their bed?
Yes,
you know,
there's
like 11 of them there, and you've got to take them all off, and then you've got to put them all back on.
Somebody puts them back on. I take them off. How do they get back on the bed?
Magic.
Anyway, she's got them in a car.
She's got them in her car. And I mean, my kids travel with a pillow if we're going long distances. They'll bring their pillow if they fall asleep so they don't hit their head on the glass or the side of the door. But these are throw decorative cushions that live in the back of the car.
That's spectacular.
All the time.
That is unreal. Has she got, you know, like those girls who love on the block, love throwing throws, you know, those rug things over their seats?
No, she doesn't. She does the pillows, but there are people that do that. How do you accessorise your car? Pimp your car on the outside, different. But I'm talking about those things that go on the inside, like the fluffy dice. Or like my nephew, he's 16. He just got his L's and a new car, or not a new car, it's an old ute that he saved up and he bought for $2,000 and he was so excited and he just had his birthday and he got one of those R.M. Williams leather steering wheel covers.
Young bloke's got it. They're wonderful. Why am I so old and I haven't got one of those? It's
incredible. 1-3-5-3. I want to know, how do you accessorise your car?
Nice.
How do you accessorise your car other than lawn
mats.
In the ute?
I've got floor mats. That's all I've got.
Floor mat?
That's
okay,
it.
That'll do. That's...
What about a 4X towel runner
on the
dashboard? Remember curtains? Some station wagons used to have
curtains.
Remember
they used to have the blinds?
Venetian
blinds. Peter from Alchester, 133353. What are you accessorising your car with?
Oh, I have an 11-year-old Astra, which is mechanically beautiful, but very uneasy on the eyes, you might say.
What colour, and, Pete? Just so we can close our eyes.
It used to be black. Now it's kind of sunburned.
It's like a charcoal.
It's faded.
So I have a quilted roof liner in my car because it's the only way I can keep it out of my eyes by using upholstery pins to stick it all back up.
The hood lining's falling down, is it, Peter? And so you've just pin cushioned it back up.
Yeah, basically, you've got the old upholstery pins out and made a lovely quilted effect.
Beautiful.
Wow, that's spectacular. How do you think, Holden, have you sent a photo? They don't make cars anymore. Too late.
Chanel would be proud. They're very famous for their bags being quilted like Peter's Astra.
It's Lee from Brown's... 11-year-old Astra. Leave the ceiling fall in.
Lee from Brown's Plains, 133353. Your car, have you accessorised it?
Look, not my own, not so much, but I'm a mechanic, so I get to see a bit of everything.
Give us the top three or four, Lee.
Old people cars, you've got the old quilted blankie in the back seat.
Crocheted.
The throw cushions are pretty popular in the back seat because back seats don't have lumbar support, so people get them to stick behind their back.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed over the last few weeks, what's been really common and very popular at the moment is dog beds in the back seat.
Of course. They've got those new beds and they've got a little seat belt to keep the dog restrained.
No. Just like your Kmart dog bed, little soft dog bed, because apparently the back seat isn't soft enough for the dog. So the dog has to have its own...
And people need to take their dog everywhere these days.
We've got a text on the burner phone, 0484101045. Sean from Newmarket, he's got a 71 Kingswood with VB bar mats on the dash and troll dolls on the back parcel tray.
Wow, classy, Sean. Nice one, son.
Zali from Mount Gravatt East, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, babe. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you accessorised your ride?
I've actually replaced the floor mats in my car with fake grass.
Of course you would.
With fake grass, like AstroTurf.
It is the greatest thing, Zali. I've got my office at home has fake grass because it feels like you're just walking around outside, doesn't it, all the time while you're driving.
Amazing.
What made you think of that, Zali? Why did you do that?
I actually saw it on TikTok.
Zali,
you did too, didn't you, Marta?
You've inspired something here, Zali. I'm running that phone. That'll be another phone topic. Where have you put fake grass? Because people are using it for walls, for ceilings, for everything. Fake grass is one of the greatest products.
A friend of ours put
there's a fire.
A panel of grass on the back of their caravan door, the base station where the back pops down. So when they open it up, they got a little patch of grass.
Why wouldn't you put it on your toilet seat?
Let's save it.
Maybe tomorrow. Yeah. 1-3-5-3.
On the Big Breakfast, Triple M.
The Big Breakfast with Marta and Margo. Waking you up weekdays on Triple M.
You're familiar with this, Margo.
Not enough news for an hour-long bulletin.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know.
Where are we today? 7, 9 or 10?
Unspecified, okay.
10.
Channel 10. But I thought there wasn't enough news, and then it's sometimes I go, what is this? What is this? And I go, oh, no, it's not too bad. Yeah, okay.
Oh, this was a moment of change. Transition for you.
Two nights in a row, there's a circus on in Adelaide. And I went, well, am I watching an Adelaide, a story about Adelaide? I don't care about Adelaide. It was the Big Bird outfit that they'd imported from Las Vegas. You know, it's 2.3 metres high.
Sesame Street
Big
Bird.
The same height as Big Bird. So just over 7 foot tall. There was an outfit. Somebody broke into the circus late at night and they were using it to stand out on the road. There's Big Bird. Oh, God, look, my kid's seen Big Bird. We're going to have to go to the circus.
Okay, got it? I've got it.
$130,000 worth.
What? The costume is worth $130,000.
Celebrate
good times.
Be large ostriches. Now, Big Bird is an ostrich, and they are real ostrich feathers dyed yellow.
Wow.
I'll say that. Well, there's an interesting question.
Don't think he's an ostrich.
A giant humanoid bird.
Big Bird. Well, he's got human in him. It's as if an ostrich did make love to a big man at a basketball
a big yellow
or something.
I don't want to detract from your story, Marto, but
it hasn't started yet.
I had to go to a first birthday party for my godson, and I left Corey in charge of getting the costumes, and it was a Disney like cartoon character party.
Yes.
And I thought he'd get me something, you know, beautiful like Princess Jasmine or Cinderella. Big Bird is what he got me. I went as Big Bird to a birthday party.
I love Big Bird. I've been to a 40th birthday party as Big Bird
as well. So what happened?
What happened is they're going, who the hell took our $130,000 Big Bird outfit? Please return
it.
Call Crimestoppers. All of that went on and then two nights in a row.
Did they have some suspects?
Big Bird is back. The bespoke costume stolen from a circus in Adelaide has been returned by thieves calling themselves the Big Bird Bandits.
Hooray! The Big Bird Bandits.
Wasn't Oscar the Grouch.
Well, there's a number of suspects, but the good thing is it was there and it was, you know, those
Cookie
electric
Monster.
Boxes, those green electrical boxes that, you know, some of them control traffic lights and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was found slumped.
Early this morning, the bird captors dumped him at Benython Park, a passing tradie spotting two men running from the scene.
Did one suspiciously look like the Hamburglar?
Hold on. Yeah, don't worry. It's not just you who's trying to make puns and all the rest of it. Listen to the reporter.
Along with some ruffled feathers came a letter of apology from the Muppets who snatched him, saying we had no idea what we were doing. Sorry to be such a big burden. Signed, the Big Bird Bandits.
The Big Bird Bandits.
They've got a good sense of humour, at least.
Well, what are you thinking?
Kermit.
They were drunk. They were walking past the circus. They popped in. They've stolen. Look at this. They've stolen that. They've gotten home. They've probably gone to work hungover. They've gotten home. They've watched the news and gone,
Jesus, you know that Big Bird outfit? Hey, Graham, yeah. What? Oh, you know, yeah, Phil, yeah. Oh, 130,000. Oh, mate, we're in trouble if we don't. And they've returned it, haven't they?
I would have sold it.
Hold on.
Police are still not looking over. For the bird nappers.
No. Cookie Monster wouldn't do something like that.
The Cookie Monster's been cleared.
Okay, you and your Hamburglar and stuff, you get a job at Channel 10 being a bad joke writer.
Big names in your workplace, all over the place, the big names in your workplace.
Oh, look at this. Well, no further explanation needed. When a celebrity walks into your workplace, and we often want a character assessment as well, don't we?
It's not just celeb spotting, it's when you encountered them where you work. Todd from Hawthorne, 133353, where were you working?
I was working up in Cairns back in the 90s at a resort up there.
What were you doing?
Which resort, Todd?
It's called Matson Plaza. It's gone now, but okay. We had all the crew from Isle of Dr. Moreau that was filming the movie up there.
Oh.
So we had the likes of Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando, the Godfather.
And I had to take breakfast up to him one morning, and he mainly had a minder there. And when I got up to the penthouse, the door was open, and I was yelling out, I'm here.
Hello.
And so I went through the door, and the minder wasn't there, and Marlon Brando was sitting in front of the television asleep in his singlet and jocks. I tried to wake him up. He wouldn't wake up. So I was standing there going, Mr. Brando, and nut. And so I was like, oh, God, do I poke Brando? And my regret to this day, I didn't poke him.
Who do you want to go with? Ricky from Vicky Point. Ricky from Vicky, where were you working?
North of Peel Island.
Okay, yeah. What were you doing, Ricky?
So we had to set up the stage for Angelina Jolie, and I stayed on set with her for a week and a half.
What for? What was she doing at Peel Island?
They were filming the movie Unbroken.
Oh, about the prisoners of war.
Yeah.
And so did you get to meet Angelina Jolie?
I had lunch with her two or three times during the week.
Get stuffed, Ricky. We're at the Little Ships Club or somewhere.
Oh, mate, she's a beautiful girl, I tell you.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's what you see of her on telly is exactly what she is. You know, she's very, very warm.
Chris Warner, good morning.
No, Chris from Warner.
Morning.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Like to combine things, you know me.
Where were you working, Chris?
I was working at a pub in Adelaide back in the 90s, and it was a topless bar.
Ooh.
Billy Connolly came in. He sat in the bar all afternoon drinking with his entourage and then left without paying his bill.
Oh, Jesus.
Was he topless too, Chris?
No, he wasn't.
Did anyone chase him, or what do you do about those bad debts?
The owner of the pub at the time chased him. It was a bit like once they got outside, Billy sort of got in his limo and took off.
And did anyone, like one of his entourage, come back and fix up the bill?
No.
We'll have to put Billy Connolly in our Frugal Friday category, I think. That's a double nomination.
That's a scathing critique of Billy Connolly after we had Angelina Jolie getting talked up. This is what these celebrities are like, Margo.
Chris. Give and take.
Thank you so much for your story. We're going to give you a double pass to go see James Rain. Triple M presents James Rain, celebrating 41 years of The Boys Light Up at the Tivoli. June 12, tickets on sale, jamesrain.com.au. Big names in your workplace, back next
week.
What
a morning. So we had the Billy, the good, bad, and then we had the ugly Marlon Brando on his undies.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.